Animal love. What about that? What do we know about animal love? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, University of Philosophy here in Campo, California, bringing you the Absolute Philosopher. Animal love. We've been talking a lot about unconditional love, and we've been talking about loving our animals, and perhaps we should look into animal love. Animals go around and check other beings out. They check other dogs out, if they're a dog. And they like to check the cats out. They like to check anything out. They don't really care what the other animal may be. It might be a skunk, you know? And they check him out, and they go and smell to see if he is a healthy animal. That's one of the first things they check. And then if he's a healthy animal, they say, hey, let's be friends. And they don't make any discrimination as to what kind of animal it might be. Maybe it's not a nice animal. Maybe it's not a friendly animal. But if the dog truly is a friendly dog, if the dog truly is a loving dog and himself has no other agenda for that other animal, such as having him for dinner or something, then a friendship can develop. But animal love is something that is so pure and so definite. It is natural. It is what nature, you might say, has designed them to do. Now, where do we fit on this nature has designed them to do thing? Where do we fit on this sort of a program that tells us who and what we are? Where do we fit there? Well, we fit in the idea that we have a natural instinct about us, which comes back from all of the relationships we have with animals and relationships we have with the world. And it's a natural instinct. And the natural instinct that animals have and the natural instinct that man has are both the same. They're both responsive, both looking for healthy, happy relationships, looking for experiences that are going to benefit them, looking for times and ways of sharing. And they don't want anything. There are many pictures we have of a cat lying down with a dog, of a child. In National Geographic recently, they had an article from India, and it showed this gigantic, gigantic python, which was all coiled up and made into some sort of a lovely bed, you might say. And here was this naked little baby lying on the python in its coil, just as happy and peaceful as can be. The python had no interest in hurting the baby, and the baby had no fear. Now, fear is something that is given to us. It's not something that we have naturally. We naturally are interested in checking things out to see whether it's friendly or not, but we don't fear it, and animals don't fear it. They want to check things out to see if they're friendly too, but they don't fear it. You see, the thing that destroys true love is fear. Because we doubt the veracity of the other people, we doubt how honest they want to be in their relationship with us, and because of that, we have a problem. Now, an animal just goes out and loves and is loved, and as long as a person shows signs of being friendly, the animal is friendly. Even to burglars, the dog is friendly. Now, can we have this animal love about us? This love has nothing to do with sex. It has nothing to do with procreation. It has nothing to do with relationships in that respect. It has only to do with friendship, with getting to know one another, getting to be with one another and enjoying each other's company. In this respect, animal love is a very naturalistic thing, and it's something that we all do. Little children on the playground, most 2-3 years old, maybe 4, they are on the playground here in the United States, and on that playground are children from many other countries. And these children at home perhaps have been speaking their own native language. And so when they get on the playground, they must find a universal tongue. And that universal tongue is the animal love. That universal tongue is that, hey, I like you. you're a friendly guy. You're a friendly girl. You're wonderful. And then they play together. Now, how do they communicate? Well, before the voice was ever discovered, sign language was quite common. And sign language is native within every being. And we point to our mouth when we're hungry or we're thirsty. We tilt our head back as though we're pouring a glass of water in our mouth to say we'd like a drink. And we do all sorts of interesting things. And we put our fingers through our mouths and say we're hungry and I'd like some food. And we say with our arms outstretched, I love you. And when soldiers are in battle in early times, they would take their glove off and they would show their hand that there was no knife in their hand, no knife in their glove. There was no threatening object there. They were there to be friends, and they would extend that hand to be shaken and to be approved. You see, this is how natural animal love is expressed in humans and animals and all beings. It is a sharingness, a unconditional sharingness. We can do that same type of thing ourselves. We can have that same type of wonderful sharingness ourselves, and by showing that with our animal love, we have beautiful things coming into our life. Perhaps, in its ultimate sense, that is what unconditional love is like. It's not with any condition, it's just curiosity and sharing. We each have curiosity and sharing. We each have the ability to do wonderful, glorious things. Are you ready to be curious? Are you ready for the unconditional love that animals show? Are you ready to be your natural, wonderful self? Well, why not? It's kind of a fun thing to do. And when you do it, all is in divine order. Now think about these things, and as you think about them, have yourself a wonderful day and know that every single thing that you do indicates your natural loving consciousness. Know that I love you, I love you, I love you.